This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jody Mack hanging with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got an hour and change to play. Want to do some baseball talk here. A couple specific topics I want to touch on with our next guest, who is one of the best of all time. He's a Hall of Fame writer. You still see him on the MLB Network all the time. Peter Gammon's good enough to come aboard here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing very well, Jody. It's kind of fun watching all this, everything go on here. I don't know if you were watching the Red Sox-Yankee game. I always have to explain to people, if you watch Mookie Betts all the time, you realize he is a great player. You can have all the stats you want. There are instinctive, I don't know if you saw, but the fly ball to right field, and he deked Judge and went second to third on him on a routine, a shallow fly ball, because he deked that he wasn't going, and then as Judge threw the ball in, he took off and went to third to get on third with one out. It's just he does things like this almost every day, and that's why he's so much fun to watch.
He was my preseason choice for MVP in the American League, and if he goes unbelievably nuts in the last 6 weeks of the season, he might be able to get there. There are a couple other pretty good candidates, but you are correct. Mookie is one of the best players, most instinctual players in Major League Baseball for sure. I did want to start with the Red Sox. They're up 3-1 on the Yanks, bottom of the seventh inning. If they win this game today, they'll walk away from the weekend with a 5-game lead, a pretty good lead with 6 weeks to go in the season. If they do win the AL East, rank the Red Sox starting rotation for me 1-5 going into the postseason.
Well, I'm assuming that Price is not going to be able to, I think there's a real chance that elbow thing is just not going to let him pitch. He may pitch a little bit, but he's not going to be regular. So going into the postseason, they'll be matched up with Cleveland in the first round. It looks like it'll be Houston against the Yankee, whoever is the other wild card team matchup. And so the Red Sox would be playing Cleveland. And I personally think with Salazar and Carrasco, as hot as they are right now with the depth, Bauer's pitched great as well. But as deep as they are, and remember last year, they didn't have Carrasco or Salazar. They basically, Tomlin was the third starter and Ryan Merritt started one game. But I think Cleveland starts with the best rotation in the American League, and I think probably I guess the Red Sox would be second, and that's assuming that Pomerantz and Rodriguez don't start the back. Neither one has ever thrown 175 innings in a season, so I'm one of those people who says tell me on a September 20th how they look.
Right.
Because they could get tired. And if Price can't pitch it, so that people talk about Price's post-game record, his postseason history, which obviously he's never won a game. But he also is 25-8 lifetime in September. And I take that, okay, I'll worry about October later. He's a key guy to get them to October. And I also think if he is pitching regularly, he doesn't tempt them to use Sale or Porcello on 3 days rest before they get to the playoffs, which I think is very important. So I don't know how it's going to be. I'm not thrilled by it. I think if you get into, I know Chapman has struggled a little bit here, but I still think when you get down to the playoffs, the Indians and the Yankees are going to have the best bullpens in the American League. So it's going to be very fun to watch them. I love a couple of those guys in the middle that the Yankees have, Kenley, I just think that they're going to be really, really good.
As do I, and I think they'll come out of the wild card, and it'll be interesting them against the Astros if we've got the AL playoff matchups right. Red Sox lineup question for you. After they acquired Nunez, it kind of sometimes better be lucky than good. and losing a player is not usually considered lucky, but Pedroia goes down, Nunez goes to second base because they've got Devers at third, and Nunez has been a key catalyst contributor for them since he joined that lineup. At some point, Pedroia is going to come back. How do they keep Nunez's bat in the lineup?
I think they just keep moving him around. Maybe they DH him for Hanley Ramirez, or DH him and have Hanley play first base occasionally. Maybe against a left-hander, especially a breaking ball left-hander, instead of Devers at third. They'll find a way to use him. Also, is he going to keep being as hot? Oh, well, I'll give him this. He was really important for the Giants last year.
Yep.
After they got him. So he's a pretty good player. I thought back in May, because I never thought Sandoval was going to come back. A couple of friends of mine were kidding me about it. You were lobbying for him back in May. I said, yeah, because he's a good, useful, energetic player. He really is. I mean, he's not a particularly good defender. But for that kind of role, he's important. And a team like that, which is based on contact and energy, he was like a perfect fit.
He has been, and be interesting to see how they do keep him in the lineup when they get completely healthy. The Red Sox had an issue to deal with earlier this year. David Price didn't take kindly to commentary and criticism by Dennis Eckersley on the NESA broadcasts, and they kind of went back and forth at each other. From what I understand, they were able to squelch that, and it never became an issue in the clubhouse, which is good for the Red Sox, and I'm glad to hear.
To the players, it hasn't been the distraction that it seems to be, but I understand why the media feels that way. I covered Dennis Eckersley. Jody, I can honestly say that, I've covered baseball in the major leagues for 46 years. He's the most accountable player I ever covered when I was a beat writer. I mean, Dennis Eckersley, it's never been anybody else's fault in his entire career. And it's just like, I'm not sure exactly what was going on with David. You know, I have the tendency to think, you know, is he letting things bother him because he's really worried about sitting out next year after an elbow operation? I mean, that could be, but it hasn't affected players. There were some names that were supposedly cheering that a couple of them weren't even on the plane yet. So it's been they've been able to sort of put it in another direction and go forward from there. They need David Price down the stretch more, I think, than people realize, because he's become so unpopular in Boston. I mean, there were radio stations and so forth calling for him to be booed when he pitched. I mean, please, you know, just, I mean, it's unfortunate. We all love Heck and great friend and respect him, but a matter of fact, when they come home off this next road trip to Cleveland, I believe a week from Monday, it's the promotion is Dennis Eckersley wig, glasses, and mustache night at Fenway Park. So that's, I don't know how many of the Red Sox players will be wearing them.
Yeah, the loyal fans will, but yeah, I think the players will be staying away from it. But now they've got another issue to deal with, and again, it shouldn't have an impact on the clubhouse, and I hope it doesn't, but I fear that it could. The renaming of Yawkey Way, that the current owner has once again stepped out and said he would like to see it renamed. He tried to get this done years ago, and Mayor Menino said he didn't want to open that can of worms. But now with the strife that we're going through in our country, people are suggesting it should happen again, basically calling Tom Yawkey a racist because the Red Sox were the last to break the color barrier and the like. Will this have any effect? Should this have any effect in the Red Sox clubhouse?
No. And I mean, I will say this. I mean, obviously, Tom Yawkey had, when I first started covering the team in the early 70s, Tom Yawkey's, some of his past, the drinking and so forth, were behind him. He's from Tarrytown, New York. He's not from South Carolina. He had a place in South Carolina with some of the family business. But this is what I really believe. And there's a wonderful book that's come out about Yawkey. And I think it's really interesting. Nick Cafardo used some quotes from it in the Boston Globe this morning, and I know Bill Nowlan very well. And I felt the same way that Nowlan feels, is that Tom Yawkey himself wasn't a racist. But that said, it was his judgment. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily be a racist to promote racism, if you know what I mean. And he had people like Eddie Collins and some other people that were Pinky Higgins, who was the manager for years, was a notable Eddie Trowbridge Collins. He was the guy who ordered Jethro Robinson and whoever else it was off Fenway Park when George Digby, their great scout, who I got to know very well in his later years, told me the whole story about how he had the deal for Willie Mays. And Collins, no. We'll take Piper Davis, who was like 35 years old, but we can't sign. We're not going to sign Mays, which Ted Williams was always very bitter about, because the idea of Ted Williams, Willie Mays, and Jackie Jensen playing together for a decade was a pretty spectacular thought to Ted. And Ted was like the other extreme entirely, because he always thought of himself as being an immigrant because his mother was Mexican and he grew up half Mexican in San Diego. But my thought is, and I applaud John Henry and Tom Werner for raising this issue. This is public land, too. I mean, this is it's a city street. And there's a way that can be done. I've just suggested to make it like the street, the avenue of all that makes the fence. I mean, I think certainly there's a Ted Williams tunnel going to the airport. You can't name it Ted Williams out, but Ted should be there. And other people that have made the Red Sox franchise, they keep talking about making it David Ortiz way. David Ortiz isn't the only one. I mean, there are other people. And I'll give you a story, which I've never forgotten. I could close my eyes and see Henry Aaron staring at me, telling me this story, that in the early 50s, the Braves had already gone to Milwaukee, but the Braves and Red Sox still barnstormed north because they were training in Bradenton and in Sarasota. They barnstormed north to Boston and Milwaukee. And so the Braves, obviously, were the only team with African-American players. And they had about four or five. Aaron was one of them. Sam Jethro, I think three others. Red Sox obviously had none. And so when the train pulled into, I think it was Louisville, the Red Sox and Braves white players went to one hotel and the black players went to another hotel. And the bags weren't delivered to the Braves black players. So Aaron and I believe it was Sam Jethro went over to the hotel where the rest of the players were staying to get their bags. And the bellman would not allow them into the hotel to get their bags. He also wouldn't get them for them. And Ted came down to go out to dinner. And he asked, well, what's going on here? Henry didn't think he knew who he was at that time. It doesn't matter. It actually makes the story better. And Williams and the players explained that they were coming to get their bags and they wouldn't let them in the hotel to get their bags. And Williams started screaming at the guy and said, you know what? You've got 5 minutes. Get the bags, have a car, and drive these gentlemen back to their hotel with the bags, or you're fired. Because I will get you fired and you will never work in this hotel again. And Aaron said it was one of the real seminal moments of his early career when there was still a lot of racism. That sort of thing should be celebrated, not just eliminated. Because after Tom Yawkey died, his widow, Jean Yawkey, and John Harrington, who ran the Yawkey Foundation and was president of the Red Sox, they did so much in the city. Part of it was to sort of clear the Yawkey name. But it was they became some of the most important socially conscious people in the city. So there's a lot of gray area here, but I understand when Adam Jones was somewhat outraged because he said some people yelled racial epithets from the bleach at him from the bleachers. He was called a liar by some people on WEEI and, of course, Curt Schilling. And Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox president, was on the phone until 6 o'clock in the morning and found, I think it was 20 witnesses that said, yes, indeed, it happened. And the next day, afternoon, Sam and got John Henry to go with him, and they addressed any players that were interested in listening to their beliefs and what they hoped the Red Sox tradition would become, which was extremely impactful on the minority players on the Red Sox, the Betzes and the Bogarts and guys like that. Then they went across, and John Henry is not the most he's not a very sociable person, very nice man, but he's very quiet. And Sam got him to spend an hour with Adam Jones, which is an amazing thing to start with. But it kind of tells you where they're at and where they want the Red Sox to be at. And there's still hard feelings among, you know, questions that people have about what are the Red Sox, what is Boston. And they're trying to be something different. And I get it, but there's a way of doing it in middle ground without just wiping out the memory of Tom Yawkey, who rebuilt Fenway Park and all the rest.
Agreed.
So it's a very complex gray area, and I think that they'll find that, okay, it won't be Yawkey way anymore, but there will be some sort of, you know, whatever they call it, the avenue of the Fens or whatever, sort of this is what the Red Sox tradition has been, what it can become. The one thing they have to do is there's a plaque on Yawkey Way celebrating Edward Trowbridge Collins. That plaque has to come down.
Peter, great stuff. Appreciate the history lesson. We'll get you back on again soon before the playoffs start, and we'll stick to baseball. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Johnny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.